This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
And good.
Yeah, we're on the air.
Good morning. Are we on?
Yes, we are.
I guess it's just my headphone that's not working. There we go. Good morning. Welcome to the front line. I'm like, where is the music? What's happening?
The intro, everything.
Everything was there gone. Except me.
Wow. I don't hear it all either, but that's all good.
You're not hearing? Well, get adjusted there. I don't know.
It's okay.
It is okay. And if I don't sound like Dave, there's a reason for that.
Of course you're not.
I'm not Dave, but Ann, welcome.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
And you
I'm glad
are...
to have you in place, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, some days it's good to be seen and to know that we're still on the planet here. God's got a job for us. But we do want to start the morning just by lifting up Dave's wife, Cynthia.
Yeah.
She is in the hospital this morning. Ed, welcome. Great to have you with us as well.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And I believe we have Steve Camp in the wing as well. Steve, can you hear us okay this morning?
I can hear you beautifully. Thank you for giving me the privilege to come on your great program. And Jonathan, if you don't have music, I could have Cindy hand the guitar. I'll play you sing, and we'll have a great time.
There we go. Well, we don't want to run. We don't want to chase everyone away, including the neighborhood cats. You know, if I get involved, but we are going to start by lifting up Cynthia in prayer because she is in the hospital, and also.
Amen.
We are so glad, Steve, that you're joining us even after a night with some physical issues there as well. So we're glad to have you. And, of course, it would have been awesome to have you and your bride in the studio, but you can join us by phone. That's just as good. Ed, would you lead us in a time of prayer?
Well, by the way, I know that you're new at this.
I am kind of new, yes.
But this is the front line.
This is the front line.
I hope welcome David to the is front listening line. Right now, so he'll realize how indispensable he really is.
That's right. That's right. Well, I couldn't even get my headphones to work, so.
I understand. I can't hear myself in here. I'm not sure I'm even on.
Well, I can hear you.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
We can hear you.
Well, Father, we come before
you
this
Father.
Morning for our lovely sister, Cynthia. And,
yes, Lord.
Lord, you know her body better than we do. You know exactly what to do with her. You know exactly what to lead the doctors to diagnose. We just ask your blessing on her, that you wash over her with the blood of Jesus from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Take away any infirmity that may keep her from being back here with us. Lord, just bless her and keep her. Be with David. Bring peace into his spirit. Mm-hmm. Let him know that you're in control. Mm-hmm. Father, we ask your blessing on that family to bring them back to wholeness as soon as possible.
Yes.
And we ask all this in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen, amen. And today, of course, we have our wonderful guest, Steve Camp. And I don't know, Ann, did you grow up listening to Steve Camp?
Mm-mm.
You didn't?
No.
Did you grow up?
I know another Steve Camp, but when we first interviewed him, it wasn't the Steve Camp that we interviewed.
Uh-huh.
No,
but,
I did not grow up listening to the
but
Steve Camp.
But this is the Steve Camp.
Yeah.
I knew him as a tremendous contemporary Christian artist.
Sorry, Steve. But
servant of God, pastor.
Hey, Steve Camp.
Okay.
Oh. Steve, I don't know if you remember me, Ed Skiba. I called you and got your permission to use Don't Tell Them Jesus Loves Them Unless You're Willing to Love Them Too at my church. And
I do remember you were very kind and supportive, yes.
That song was made by you back in the 90s, and it is still changing lives. So that's the impact your ministry and your music have had. The people in my church still talk about the video I showed with that song, and they absolutely loved it. So, yes,
well,
some of us
you.
Old
yeah,
folks
I,
still know
I
your
wrote,
music.
No, I appreciate your encouragement. I wrote that song while in the Netherlands, ministering in Amsterdam with a group called YWAM.
Youth with a Mission,
Youth with a Mission, very familiar with them.
Yeah, and really terrific folks. And it was one of their representatives that came up to me ahead of time and said, listen, there's so many hurting people on the streets down here. you know, the anything was legal except for murder, all kinds of drugs.
Absolutely.
You would see shops all lined up. They called it the Free Zone District. Mm-hmm. And you would see, you know, tens and tens and tens of shops that maybe once were ice cream stores or mm-hmm. sporting wow. stores or whatever.
Yep.
And now they were filled with women that would knock on the window
yep.
of the shop and try to lure men into their area there. And, you know, and so we talked about how to minister to the Free Zone District down there. And the title to her, she says, "Steve, we're praying for you, but please do us a favor. Don't tell them Jesus loves them until you're ready to love them too."
Amen.
Wow.
And that put me out on the street to walk a day or two ahead of time with those representatives around the block sharing the gospel. So when we got up to give a concert, they already were a bit familiar. We had made a few friends, but it was just a dynamic time there. But thank you for that encouragement.
Yeah.
And that was written not only there, but it was also used in regards to the AIDS issue of the late 1980s
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And so we wanted to put hands to feet. You know, the great commandment is, we all know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen. Amen.
It's second like to it.
Yeah.
And the neighbor that goes unloved, if they see us worshiping, but then not practicing hospitality, meeting their needs,
mm-hmm.
it tends to be a shallow witness, or at least a one-sided witness. But when they see both the primary duty of worshiping the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and out of that flows a right love of neighbor in sharing the gospel and meeting needs and going to the hospitals and, you know, in caring for those that are sick and hurting around us. Now that's the wonderful marriage of the two great commandments mm-hmm. that the Lord said, the law and the prophets are contained in both of these things.
Amen.
So the totality Amen. Of it. So that's where that song had kind of a birth. And thank you again, dear brother, for your use of that. That was a real blessing.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, the moral turpitude you're talking about in the Netherlands, I've been to Malmo, Sweden, Haugesund, Norway, Copenhagen, Denmark.
Mm.
Those, that same thing is prevalent in all three of those Scandinavian countries. It seems to be something.
Very much so.
And
yeah,
now,
you know, it's, you get an idea. I mean, our nation, we have to really guard the trust here. We understand that the cross waves higher than the flag. Our love for the Lord
Amen.
Is always greater than our love for our country. But yet, biblically, we want to be good citizens of this earth, as well as a reflection of being citizens of heaven, according to Philippians 3:20.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can do that, we see what's happening in our nation. Communism is now heralded as patriotism.
Yeah.
Socialism is heralded as a loving approach for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing could be further from the truth. You've traveled around the globe. I have as well. And when you see the absolute disregard for humanity
mm-hmm.
and then you see the plight that goes on against women and children and so forth around the globe, no wonder America is the last bastion of freedom.
Amen.
But we know it's first and foremost, whom the Son sets free is free
indeed.
But then
right.
also true political freedom. We know our rights come from God. I so appreciate our president here, President Trump, when he said,
Amen.
"We worship not government, but God."
That's right.
Our rights come from him. So the three great pillars of faith, family, and freedom all birthed at the founding of our nation, but yet rooted in Scripture, rooted in the local church. And we have the wonderful joy and duty to not leave that that essential aspect of government and local church together, all based in the Word of God. I don't know if people understand this, but our nation was founded by biblical principles of government taken right out of the book of Deuteronomy.
Amen.
And so when we have that as the bedrock foundation, now we can see that as a great reminder of our duty, not only in government, but also for the gospel and specifically with family and rooted out of the local church.
Yeah. You know, people think that it's just Christianity that, that had such a big part in bringing this country to be. But there was a gentleman during George Washington's time, when George Washington was right on the verge of going bankrupt and not being able to maintain the army, a gentleman named Chaim Salomon, a Jewish leader in the community, came forward and funded the army to keep it going so that I believe it was at the Battle of Yorktown that we could go ahead and be victorious in that. So it's this is a Judeo-Christian society.
That's an excellent point, because I think that's the comparison I use with President Trump is, you know, we pray that he truly knows the Lord or comes to salvation in Christ. He's a friend of the church, no question. He's a friend of the gospel and the Christian faith. Some people want to make him out to be Nebuchadnezzar, and I said, no, he's like Cyrus.
He's our Cyrus, absolutely.
Yeah, he helps us build and rebuild. My one of our kids, Johnston, he did some research on our family tree a few months ago, and we have he went back 15 generations, back to the 1400s, in the history of our family in terms of ministry and local church. He discovered we had two men, one served under General Washington. His name was Abraham Camp.
And, oh, wow, that's fascinating.
And I thought, wow, how did I miss that name with one of the boys, you know? Really amazing. And another, literally, this is true, was called Moses Camp. And I said, wow, there you go. And they served under Washington during the Revolutionary War. So
amazing.
You know, great, great history to pass on and to be rooted in for our great land.
Absolutely.
Steve, we want to talk about the relaunch of your church, and we want to give you an opportunity to talk about home church and what's taking place, because that's really exciting. But before we jump into that, could you just tell us a little bit about your God story? Because you have an amazing God story. We have listeners that may be like Ann that didn't grow up listening to Steve Camp. We have a lot out there who didn't. So tell us who Steve Camp is in God and in the kingdom today.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll keep it as brief as possible. And Ann, you avoided, I'm sure, a lot of trouble by listening to some of my, by not listening to some of my music in those early days. So, you know, my mom, when I was a teenager in high school and the Lord had gotten a hold of my life at age 17, and we put together a band, and this was at the height of the Jesus movement in the early 70s. And, you know, she would, you know, we had, my dad was home with the Lord, and we were playing down there from the youth group, different ones. And we just had a love of music. We're trying to write our own songs. And she would sometimes open up the door leading down to the basement, and she said, Steve, turn down that noise. and that, you know, and I said, oh, Mom's quoting Amos again. I won't even listen to the noise of your songs. Entirely different reason. The fruit of being born again at age 17, that I started to write music. I was raised in a Christian family in Wheaton, Illinois. And what happened was early on, I was fairly shy, not as verbose at all as I am these days. But here it was, my wife is chuckling in the background. But here it was one of those interesting times where putting down, after I would read through a book of the Bible or different memory verses, putting those truths to music gave me a vehicle where I didn't have to talk a lot, but I could pour my heart and soul into lyrics, into those things. And they were a way for me to share my testimony without the fear of having to do public speaking. And then the two of those ultimately merged together. I sent a tape out to CBS Records and got a record deal in the mid-70s with Mums Records. And then it was out of that when Mums lost their distribution. They had a band called Steppenwolf and Albert Hammond, All You Need Is the Air That I Breathe, those songs.
Yeah,
and I remember. It was interesting. They lost their distribution. They were being picked up by another label. And there was a gentleman named Clive Davis that said, I'll take the artists that were with Mums and bring them over here. And Mr. Davis, who recently passed away, he said to me back then, he said, Steve, I don't know if you realize this, but 90% of all your songs mention Jesus. and I said, well, yeah, I wrote him. I realized that. That's by design. It was on purpose. And he said, well, listen, if you could just change the name of Jesus to Baby, you'd have some great songs. Mm. And I told him, I said, sir, I'll write the best love songs I can for you, but I want to be upfront about my faith. That's the most important thing. So he called back a few days later and said, why don't I return your contract? We'll part company, no harm, no foul. And I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And then it was signing with Word Records in 1977 and putting out a series of albums up through then the most recent one this last year or so, year and a half. So been in music since 1977, pardon me, 77, 51 years. I can't believe it. I started with a young gal at that time named Amy Grant. And
I know Amy Grant.
Amy's gone on to do amazing things, mm-hmm. and her song El Shaddai, we love
Amen.
It.
Yes.
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
You know, wonderful gal. But, you know, it was interesting during that time, and it was through that time churches would have me in to speak and to say, if we bring you in for a Friday and Saturday evening worship event, would you stay over and preach on Sunday morning, then do a closed concert Sunday evening for our church? And so I would add literally 100 churches a year in preaching. And, you know, I was able to grow my library at home because they would take you to a bookstore for these signings, you know, and you mm-hmm. can sign your CD or record. And they would say, anything that you would like here. And they would say, take a CD. And I said, well, I'm really interested in theology. All my heroes were the great heroes of the faith in church history.
Amen.
And they said, oh, pick up some commentaries. And I literally, I think one year, I grew the library from one book to about 3,000 books.
Wow.
And it was great. And so I so praise the Lord for these dear men and women who did that. And then when I got to meet some of my mentors early on, Dr. Stephen Olford, who started mm-hmm. Billy Graham in the ministry, mm-hmm. and my father used to work with Billy in the radio area years and years ago. When I saw Billy and met him for the first time in Wheaton, I said, sir, do you remember my father, John Camp? And he gave me a big hug. The Chicago Tribune took a snapshot of the photo. And he said, Steve, your dad helped put us on the map. And, man, please give our love to the whole family. So Stephen Olford started Billy in the ministry in the late 40s. In fact, George Beverly Shea, I saw mm-hmm. him at one of the great music events, Christian Artists of the Rockies, and he came over to me. And you know when someone's approaching you and they got that stern look about them, and he goes, are you Steve? And I said, yeah. He goes, get over here and sit down. I have a bone to pick with you. And I was like, oh, my goodness, how did I get in trouble with this dear man? And he said, you don't know this, but when your grandfather would preach on the south side of Chicago, I was his music director for a few years before joining the Graham organization.
Wow.
And so a wonderful history there. That led ultimately to a dear friendship with R.C. Sproul, Dr. John MacArthur, Dr. Richard Sumi, some of these dear men of God. And I so appreciated many of them taking me under their wing, allowing me to ask questions. We didn't agree on everything, but we were, in the Word together. And those key voices, along with family and dear friends along the way, gave me opportunity to have a great love for the local church. And it was out of that that I just felt the Lord leading to be involved in pastoral ministry within the church. So over those 50 plus years, it's been God's grace leading. And now we're out here in Fort Pierce, Florida, and we have a new location, and it's turned out not by design initially, but it's called Cross Life Church. We just got approved for our new name. It was the Cross Church, and now we've bylined it as a household of faith. So we're excited to have our first launch of a worship service next week at our remodeled little carriage house area. And it's a smaller congregation, but I tell you, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. These dear men and women of God are tremendous. And, nothing against the mega church at all, but I think we're missing it sometimes, considering most of the early churches were home churches for the first 300 years.
Absolutely.
So this has been a great learning experience, and we would covet people's prayers.
How do people find you? What's the address there, Steve? And how can people get more information?
Yeah, thank you. It is 4919 Pine Tree, one word, Pine Tree Drive, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34982. And then the church number that I'm on now is 772-341-8271. And also, I want to say a special thank you for airing some of the new spots that we've been able to produce recently. And at the end of those spots, David instructed me, he says, make sure you put for more information, call. And so if you hear those spots, that phone number will be on there. Please give us a call. We'd love to talk with you, meet you, have you come out. And we're hands-on in ministry together, expositional and Bible preaching and teaching. And we're just so grateful to serve others and serving Christ in this more intimate kind of setting.
Steve, when we come back, we're going to go to a song. In fact, it's Trust in the Lord, one of your songs. Maybe you can set that up. But when we come back, I'd like you just to talk about the culture of home church, what happens in one of the services, because some people have never been to a home church, or they think they never have been to a home church, and they just might wonder, well, what would that be like, and what should I expect? Tell us about Trust in the Lord.
It's taken out of Jeremiah 17. And Jeremiah is encouraging this captive Israel. He says, not only trust in the Lord, but trust the Lord who is your trust. And so this, I thought, was a good key message to have included on this new record, that in times of trial, in waning faith, we need to be encouraged. Man, focus your heart. Be shipwrecked upon Christ. Trust in him and delight in him, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. So I hope this encourages people. If you're hurting today, trust in him.
And we will be right back with Steve Camp in just a few moments. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And, Ann, did you have something really important to say before we transition to the song?
Well, as you were speaking, Steve, you spoke about Wheaton, Illinois, and then you spoke about the Tribune, and that is just my homeland. So my heart was just so touched. I would love to talk to you further. Yeah, I'm from Glenview, Illinois, and then I've been to Wheaton College many times, and I wrote for the Chicago Tribune. But yeah, I just love that we have that in common. And then I love, because the Lord's finger is all over your life, how he got you to speak and to preach and to even bless you with a huge library. So I just am so grateful for that story. So we could talk more about that after the break.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we call Wheaton, Illinois, the Vatican II.
All right, trust in the Lord. Steve Camp, we're going to go to the song. We'll be right back.
And Alexa, we invite you to join us live for God's Got It each Thursday morning at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
And we're so glad you're listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and we have Ann and Ed. And we are lifting up in prayer David's wife, Cynthia, who Amen. Is in recovery at the hospital. And we thank God for God's touch in her life. And we have Steve Camp with us, and we are so blessed. Great song, Trust in the Lord. Thank you for setting that up for us. And we wanted to just move to, in the second half of our, to the whole idea of house church. Why house church? What happens there? What can somebody expect? And is this family oriented? Why are you doing house church?
Yeah, great question. Well, initially, when we had sold our facility, our church began in 1959 as Palm City Baptist Church. The name was changed, I believe, by John Jacobs, a pastor back in the day, to Christ Community Church, and then it changed. I've been there as a lead pastor for 17 years, and we changed it to the Cross Church, and now with coming up here to Fort Pierce, it was interesting. Do we keep the name the same? And so we had found a great house here, needed a lot of work, but little by little, we've been able to renovate. And it has a good-sized detached carriage house or a three-car garage in the back. And, it was just bare bones, lots of trash bags that hadn't been emptied in years. And we started doing some work on that about 2 years ago. And it was interesting. We started looking for a normal church facility, a separate church facility in Palm City. We had our worship center, kind of an educational center, and then our parsonage there, a fancy word for where the pastor resides. And so here, the Lord blessed us with a parsonage, but out back we thought, well, let's see what we can find. And we looked and looked and looked, and I tell you, though the home prices up here were much less money than, say, right around Palm City or Jensen Beach or other places, commercial real estate up here was really growing. And we could not find even a smaller church facility, for any modicum of price. And so we thought, what do we do? And then one after another were coming and saying, you know, the Lord's blessed you with this garage and with a home. Why not make it a home church? I started to reach out with people around the country, with some dear men of God that have been involved in home church settings for many years. And really, we see this in the New Testament. We see life in the Christian church, love in the Christian community, and lordship in the Christian convert. And what it is, it's an amazing kind of time, because we thought, well, we don't want to put any of our own barriers or, you know, walls up on how God would sovereignly lead us. We're a Reformed congregation, even though anyone from any church is welcome. My wife, Cindy, at the other location, there was, qualified to head up women's ministries and the kids' ministries there, and other gals were involved with her in that. And so we thought, what do we do? The only negative, and this is how it's been, the only negative is much of the congregation. This is 45 minutes, I think, up north from where we were. Many of them, just the most wonderful folks in the world, live about a half hour south or 45 minutes south of that other location. And so what's been difficult in the transition is to ask any of them to drive an hour and a half. We realize that's a big commitment. And so we started to do some Zooming services like many did during the COVID days so that we could be well connected. And then we planned visitations with several of them. And they've been out here. We've done funerals out here. We've had discipleship meetings and Bible studies and all of this. And it's been a great transition. But as I finally started to look through of what the development was biblically, many people are familiar with Constantine. And we know that, that Constantine kind of gave a reprieve from the real persecution that was going on in the days of the early church. But also we noted that here as we studied this, the first 300 years till about 311 AD, all the churches apart from the church in Jerusalem were all home churches. Mm-hmm. And again, we think of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the church at Corinth being massive, or the church in Rome being a few thousand people, or the church at Thessalonica, and different ones. All these churches were anywhere from 30, 40, 50, 60 people. They weren't many by today's standards, but yet it's how they unfolded that. So from the time the church began and the time that came up with Constantine, there was a great danger that the emperor decided that he would rule the church. Persecution stopped. But, you know, we believe the greater the heat, the greater the expansion, right? Amen. The Lord uses trials and persecution in the church's life to grow the church. I've seen this in China and in other nations around the globe. But yet Constantine removed that. The meetings of bishops and other church dignitaries that were presided in the name opened up its door to heretics like Arius, which denied the lordship of Jesus Christ. He said he was divine, he was divine, but he was not God. And Arius brought in, and crusty Athanasius was used to stand the test of time and to say this far and no farther. And so when they met together in houses, though Constantine became the emperor, favored Christians were put for political reasons, and the persecution ended. In fact, it was interesting. Constantine said, you know what? These pastors deserve better clothing, better salaries, better buildings. And he started to create what amounted to political church-state facilities, just like you see in the Soviet Union today. And so when you see this, Sunday was recognized as a day of rest, but the state and the community were now given over to them. Christians became leaders everywhere, paid by the pagan leaders at the time, by the emperors, and they were converted for profit and power, not for conviction by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So the reproach of the cross, this was so key, was turned into royal fame and glory. And so this is why, as based on that element of church history, we decided to name this Cross Life. You've asked a very important question, Jonathan, that what's the theme of a home church? You know, we haven't changed how we do church one bit except we're in a smaller facilities. In other words, we never did smoke machines at the other place, you know? we never had U2 impersonator praise teams on Sunday morning. And it, worship was reverent, not entertainment. And it's the same thing here. And so whether it's one or two leading with a guitar here, it's more personal, but it's just as rich. We sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs every week. It is for families. A lot of teenage kids, man, they have questions and answers that we don't shy away from. And so with that involved, we start at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. We end at 11:30 a.m. And just like we did at the other facility, we have hospitality. People will bring food. Cindy will cook up a storm. And we sit and we enjoy, and people will stay for 2 or 3 hours after service for fellowship. And visitors are welcome, and they're kind of wonderfully attracted to the intimacy that can happen within the church, where it's not an entertainment issue. There's no stage. We talk and we fellowship and we get into the word together. In fact, people are free to ask questions while the preaching is occurring. And Wednesday night, we have at 8 p.m. a study on the book of Job right now, going through, you know, the book of Job. What does it mean that genuine faith will be tested? And, you know, we're going through that as a family right now. I mentioned our son Johnston, his little 2.5-year-old daughter, Annalise. We've had millions of people praying for her throughout the country because she almost died during a near-drowning accident on Memorial Day. And it was so sad, but she has been in great care. We've had attorney generals from Texas, Mr. Paxton, and Louisiana get her to the best hospitals. We trust the Lord that he'll heal her and bring her back to health. But we also know that being home with the Lord is the ultimate miracle, the ultimate healing.
Amen.
And so our family has been going through trials this way. And, you know, we thank the Lord for the trial because it conforms us more to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And people will ask questions about these things, real life folks, the maladies of our lives. The Christian life was never meant to be lived where there's no sickness, no disease, no problems, you know, just an easy-go-lucky day. No, we are promised that in this world, by the Lord, that in this world you'll have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer.
Yes,
I've overcome the world. So that's what Cross Life Church is about. Christian community, life in the fellowship of the saints, prayer, the reading of the word, the teaching of scripture, communion every single week. We never take an offering. People, and we didn't at Palm City either, but people can contribute money as the Lord puts it on their hearts to help with the ministry. In fact, we have, when we have visitors, people say, Did we miss something? When is the offering being taken? And we said, no, no offerings here, but we do have a little gift box that you can leave an offering in if you'd like to support the ministry here. So, you know, family-oriented, family, faith, freedom. And this is where we want to focus and deal directly, hands-on, together in the Lord. And we hope, you know, if the Lord blesses with some growth out here, that will begin to start maybe another service on Sunday, and if necessary, Saturday night, and then we'll see where he graces us. But this is how the early church met and what they were really given over to. And I think in the age of the mega church, and I came across a church the other day, they call themselves a giga church because they have so many more people than a normal mega church would be, tens of thousands. I mean, that has its place. We're not poo-pooing that. But if we're going to stay true to God's word, I think there's a refreshing thing that people are experiencing when all the biblical elements of worship are evident, but yet it's feeding the flock, shepherding God's people, real prayer times together, people ministering to others, and it's a great experience, and we're just taking first steps with this, but we hope the Lord will use it for his glory.
Steve, what just keeps coming to mind as you're talking about the church modeled after Acts 2 is the presence of God. Everything has to be centered around the presence of God.
Amen.
And unfortunately, today we have a lot of churches that are more about the programs or about the number of people, but the presence of God is void. You know what I mean? Like when the worship is truly to the Lord and it's not for performance, and the church that the Lord has given you, the rebranding sounds like it's going to be based on the presence of God around this wonderful fellowship and hospitality that's modeled in Acts 2. It's so beautiful. As I listen to you, I want to visit because that is what the Lord has for his people, to take care of each other, to break bread, to fellowship, and then be in the presence of God. It's the presence of God that attracts people. It's not the programs, or else that will be a temporary thing. And we want people to have an encounter with the Lord. And then when you spoke about having songs based on hymns back in the early church history, that was only what was allowed, was to sing the words of the Bible. And that's where the true power is, in the word of God, which is Jesus. So this is just, I'm so glad for what the Lord has shown you to do. And we pray for your church in Fort Pierce that the Lord will bless it.
Amen.
Thank you, Ann. No, you know, you're right. If you read through Leviticus 10, and you remember Moses, Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, and it said that they offered strange fire before the Lord. We're not told what that strange fire was.
Yeah.
But we do know what it was not. It said they did not do as God had commanded them. And then Moses confronted Aaron after the Lord executed them on the spot.
Yeah.
And what was interesting was Moses said to Aaron, the Lord says in verses 3 and 4, he says, before all the people, I will be glorified. And when you approach me, regard me as holy. And so what are the three elements of biblical worship? It's based on scripture. It's to the glory of God and in his holiness. In fact, we're told in the Psalms, worship in the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
And so that's how we honor him. I don't want to be one of those churches in Revelation where he says, I have this against you. And if you fail to repent, I'll take your lampstand from you.
Amen.
And the only two churches that he didn't give that stern warning to was the church at Philadelphia, focused on the return of Christ.
Yep.
And then also the suffering church, the church at Smyrna. Those were the only two. Ephesus, Pergamos, Thyatira, Laodicea, the lukewarm church, and so forth. The other five churches, the Lord had something against. Still, he issued the call to repentance. But I like what you said there, Ann. We don't need more programs. We need an encounter with the living God.
Amen.
That happens. I just finished a five-week series on the Holy Spirit, and that happens by the Spirit of God in the fellowship, using the Word of God to instruct and conform the people of God to Christ-likeness, and doing all of that to the glory of God. And so that's where our heart and focus is. I mean, listen, Jesus promised to build the church, so our commitment should be to it. He purchased the church with his own precious blood. And therefore, we should love those for whom he died.
Yes.
The church is the predominant agency in this world, which God's will is manifested on earth. Therefore, it's the community with whom I labor. The church, I know, is the earthly expression of heaven. Therefore, we grow together by grace into the fullness of Christ. And I love Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, in light of the assured victory through our risen Lord Jesus Christ, our worship and toil is not in vain. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Steve, I'm going to step in here because we're almost out of time, and I do not want for us to finish today without hitting, giving access to this song that is from your new album. But first, can you give the address again and how people can follow up with you all? And then we're going to go to the song that is on your new album, Rage, because God has given you a message that connects with the disaster that is happening in our nation and our world without God.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Jonathan. The address here again is 4919 Pine Tree Drive, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34982. If you come down Federal Highway, Route 1 to Midway, turn right, and Pine Tree is down about a mile and a half on the right-hand side. And we're down about a few hundred yards on the right-hand side there. The phone number for the church, and if you call, we'll answer. If we are on another call, please leave a message. We'll be happy to get back to you. Love to have you visit. 772-341-8271.
Set this song up, Steve. What is this song about?
This is the title cut. And Ann, I have to warn you, it rocks a little bit. So
I like that, actually.
I don't want you to be caught off guard. Okay. This may challenge some musicality here. But this is a song that talks about just where our nation has drifted over the last several years. And I try to put key lines in here and phrases that have sadly now defined our culture. But still, as Christians, we can say we're to be neighbors in an age of rage and show Jesus and demonstrate the gospel to others. I hope this will encourage you to be bold for the Lord Jesus in the day in which we live.
Tried to cancel me, lock me down and silence me, put a hit on me. You try to take my faith, my family, my freedom by forcing me to bow the knee at your Babylon. You like to call good evil and evil good while burning down the neighborhood. But we won't comply, we will resist, cause everything woke turns to, well, this. The destruction of the family, the castigation of authority, the vaccination plantation is your slavery, and you turned racism into industry. While preaching peace and love and unity, you sell women and children as commodities. You seduce the masses for power, control, and money. These are your demise, your crimes against humanity. Paralyzes the planet? Fear. What cripples a prosperous, law-abiding, God-fearing nation? Fear. What shuts down schools and churches, holidays and jobs that fill our purses? Fear. But the issues are too great just to play it safe. Heaven or hell, life or the grave. Like the poet once said, love is a corpse. We sit and watch it harden. We left it all so long ago, the garden. Killing each other, we are. love our neighbor in an age of rage, but it takes lots of grace. We are great sinners, but Jesus is a far greater Savior.
All right. And with that, we are back. And, of course, that is a powerful song, Steve, and maybe it's a little strong for some, but it tells the story.
Thank you, y'all. Appreciate that. And we covet your prayers for how the Lord may use some of these newer songs. So thank you for playing that.
So what's the message to the church? What does God have on your heart? I mean, we can't hide as if there's not a crisis in our nation of division, racism, anti-Semitism.
Yep.
We have all kinds of issues that are going on in the inner cities and in most of our homes. What is God speaking through you?
You know, it's returning back to the essentials. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
And in relation to the Holy Spirit, we're given three positive commands: walk, pray, and be filled with the Spirit. But do not grieve the Spirit and do not quench the Spirit. Satan always attacks at the essentials of the faith.
Absolutely.
And that culminates, how do we know God? Through the study of his word. So let's get back to faithful reading, study of scripture, to crave the word, to hide it in our lives, to the glory of God, to the exaltation of Christ by the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Everything else is chaff to the wind.
I do want to say that, Steve, when I come to your home, I am hosted in an amazing manner. But I am conscious that you and your wife host the presence of God. And this is not in some shabby kind of a way. You step into the worship area, grand piano. Steve, you are an amazing, gifted man of God. Your wife is as well. She's amazingly gifted as a musician. And this is a fellowship where God is honored in a most excellent way. And so we love you, Steve. How can people find you?
Love you guys, too. And David, if you're listening, we're praying for you and your dear wife.
Yep.
And we'd love to have y'all out, Ed and Ann and Jonathan again, too. We'd love to have y'all come and just see what we have here. I think it'll give a better idea of how to pray for us, and we would just love to see y'all again. And thanks so very much. To quote the old pop music theologians, if loving you's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Amen.
Give phone number and address one more time, Steve. We still have about a minute and a half.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, 4919-4919 Pine Tree Drive. Pine Tree is one word, 4919 Pine Tree Drive. And that's Fort Pierce, Florida, 34982. And the phone number here, 772-341-8271. Again, 772-341-8271. Please give a call. We meet for worship on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for our study in the book of Job. And we'd love to meet you and serve you and have you join the family of God that meets out here. And we hope it's a blessing to you.
Steve, we love you. We're out of time.
Yes. It was a blessing to get to know you, Steve, in the short 60 minutes we have.
But all right.
Thank you.
It's time to go. Love you, Steve. We'll talk soon. Yeah. Blessings.
Amen. Love you. Love you all.
God bless you, Steve.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.